Good morning. Today is Tuesday, February the 9th, 40th day of the new year. This morning, I can add. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Convention Visitors Bureau Executive Director and a working guy, Tony Smithers.
Good morning, Brian.
Yeah, you can kill that ant. All right. Don't brush it away. Smash it.
No.
Take it out.
No, that's not my way.
Oh, really? Okay. Now he's gone away. A little too zen for me. Oh. Hey, good news yesterday, the airplane.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about the airlines. But before we do, our quote, let's see if we can find a tourism quote here. That's kind of straight up. And there's a toleration quote. That doesn't going to fly for me at all. Okay, let's see. Toothaches. No, that's not going to work at all, is it? Huh, here we go. William Cowper in 1785, quote, God made the country and man made the town.
Very good.
You like that one. I do. I do, too. It's interesting for me, and I suppose hopefully it's interesting for a lot of folks, that Pan Air is the one that came in with the announcement. I know we're going to have Tom Atson's on tomorrow, so we'll talk a little bit more of the details and the how comes. From your perspective, Tony, having a direct flight to Portland and connecting in through their network, whether it's to Coos Bay or Medford or wherever in the region, is Pan Air a plum? Does Pan Air substitute for Delta? Or is it, hey, this is cool, maybe this will be the lever to get three carriers?
Well, I think any additional service is a plum. We've been struggling to build up capacity. So is it the same as Delta? You're referring about the direct flight we had to Salt Lake City? It's probably about the same in terms of the connectivity and the market base which it helps reach out to. And Pan Air does go up all the way into Alaska and Washington and all those areas too. So, you know, it's a West Coast, which is really, really good because we're on the West Coast, and that's a destination and a route all by itself.
So do you have a lot of demand? Or let me step back. Are you that intimate with the demands and the different pressures that the marketplace has regarding air transportation?
Not really, no.
Because I'm wondering how many of our people, or people visiting our area rather, come from a Washington or Northern Oregon that would see this as advantageous, or is this going to be more advantageous for people leaving our area and then returning back through Portland?
Well, clearly that is the case. And in the past, for instance, like when we were working with Horizon, their entire model to justify coming in here was what the local demand was going to be. And then the tourism industry said, well, you know, this is an opportunity to do some outreach as well. And they got on board, you know, partnering with us on that. But all these are really based upon the local demand. And then it's just, now we have to work.
KINS, News and Information Time. I told you he's a working guy. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, so you indicate that Pan Air now has opened up and there's some new opportunities for the tourism-serving elements of our market to take advantage of something.
Sure, sure. And
what is the something?
Okay, well, there's really two main areas. One is international arrivals. We're very interested in growing our international market because international visitors are a very good customer for us to have. You know, it's the same old story. They stay longer, spend more. And so when you have more connectivity and more options for them to create an itinerary on the West Coast, then we can be a part of that more often. As in addition to the idea that actually, you know, Portland is an international gateway.
Doesn't Lufthansa come in?
They do. So, you know, people can actually arrive in the U.S. and then, you know, with a direct connection then to the Redwood National Park, for instance. You know, that puts us in that game. So that's really a positive.
That's cool.
That's really cool. The other thing is just the basic equation of business travel and event marketing. A lot of times we lose out on being able to host, you know, the Western Association of this or that convention or seminar or whatever. We don't have the lift to get the bodies in fast enough so that we can fill a conference room up. Now, the Pan Air flight's not a solution to that, but it helps. We probably need two or more carriers in order to start getting the numbers where we can say we actually are, you know, on the list of possible, you know, selection where people can come and have their events.
So with this opportunity, do you jump in and start to partner with, talk to the folks at the various airlines to say, okay, what is the potential? If we did have an event, how many seats do you have available? Or do you work that through Public Works, through the airport division, and come up with those numbers in that fashion?
Well, we can find out what the lift is pretty easily, and obviously, you know, that built into the equation of, you know, for instance, the Sequoia Conference Center can seat 500 people in, you know, theater style. X percent drive in, X percent fly in. What's that look like? That kind of thing.
And figure out how many chairs there are on the airplanes.
Right. You know, going east, south, north, west, whatever. So, again, you know, this helps. It's not an answer. We need more lift in order to get into that game in a serious way.
But it certainly allows people like me, who will avoid SFO at all possible costs, because of all kinds of possible reasons.
Sure.
To avoid that scenario.
Well, sure.
And I when San Francisco gets backed up because of an issue somewhere in the network, would Portland also?
Well, presumably. Presumably, but
it impacts all airports rather than SFO.
But SFO has a particular reputation of being very fragile.
And United has a hub out of Denver. Do they have one out of San Francisco, or is that just the leaping off point to go international?
I believe, I don't know the answer to that.
So. I'm just wondering, it would seem to me that Portland has opened up a whole bunch of new gates for a whole bunch of very cool opportunities, but does Humboldt County, does the Redwoods have any image in the Pacific Northwest? Are we a known factor up there at all? Because every time we talk, it's Sacramento, it's Redding, mm-hmm. it's San Francisco, it's LA, it's Texas. The Canadians drive here, the Oregonians drive here. Washington just gets lost and ends up here. Has there been any outreach north?
Not in a coordinated or consistent way. We've really had our sights set south and east in many respects. Notwithstanding that, we do get about 5% of our visitors, 5 or 6% of our visitors, are from Oregon, Washington. So that, I think, though, reflects the fact that we're on that West Coast itinerary, where, you know, the drive along.
Take 101, you will find us.
Yeah, kind of exactly. So it's a very good thing that we're here.
So is it seen as virgin territory, and it's going to take 5 or 6 years to really have the impact? I'm thinking of the billboards and all the outreaches and stuff. Everything that I'm aware of has been California, as you said, facing south.
Right.
Okay, now we got facing north. Whoops. Yeah, you know, Emperor's New Clothes.
Well, you know,
so it's a whole
small regional carrier doesn't change that dynamic too much. I would begin by focusing on those niche, you know, the international and the business.
Rather than Portland specific.
That's the low hanging fruit. Now to start to penetrating the Oregon market, we got to find those very niche, you know, because it's a lot of competition for beautiful outdoor places that are a lot more convenient for Oregonians.
Yeah, I would think this is where the trees come into play, or the national park.
The national park, though, you know, they can go to the Olympic Peninsula even more conveniently than to here. So it's got to be, you know, the redwoods themselves and the, you know, the mystique that they have. And then, you know,
fog is not unique to Humboldt County.
No, indeed. But then, you know, we need to look at the rest of the product and you know, find where it plays, you know, whether it's our history, heritage, food, whatever.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers from the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Tony, you were talking a little bit about competitive and how opportunities present themselves sometimes independent of our efforts. I was going to say in spite of, and I don't think that's right. Something like this where it is kind of a surprise. It's a nice surprise, but a surprise. Are there more competitors now you have to be worried about? Or is this just getting the primary message out into different markets, whether it's Oregon, Washington, or anywhere else, when an opportunity presents itself to get the message out?
Sure. I don't say there are more competitors. I mean, I feel it's really, it is an opportunity, you know, and it boils down to that basic approach that we have to take, because we're always on a shoestring. So we're not going to be able to sort of just wade into this new market and start getting buying eyeballs, as they say, you know, the equivalent of Super Bowl ads or whatever. But for that targeted, you know, niche enthusiast, whatever it might be, you know, I'm sure, for instance, that in Portland there are some big bird watchers. Stands to reason. Or, you know, it's the Rose City, right? There's going to be some gardening fans and what have you. Let's zero in on those folks. That's an opportunity for us. You know, it's typical low-hanging fruit, and that's what you go after first.
Sure, the easy stuff. I mean, that's just developing relationships, I would think, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, relationships with, you know, certainly the travel media in that market. So we will be reaching out to them, inviting them to come see us.
Has the Oregonian ever been here that you're aware of?
They have sent riders through on sort of West Coast trips. We've been part of a roundup.
Okay.
But not specifically, you know, hey, come to Redwood National Park. So that's what we're going to be focusing on next. You know, and not just the traditional media. It's sort of a cutting edge, very tech savvy market. So we look at opinion leaders, whether it's a blogger or whoever. People who have a market with them.
Somebody who believes what they say.
All good journalists believe what they say.
No. I meant the consumer of their product.
Oh yeah. Well, you know,
believes what they say. Yeah.
For all forms of PR, journalism or
not like the Onion.
Right. The idea is somebody else is saying it about us, not us, because people don't believe it when you say it about yourself.
Aren't I great? Don't you know?
who says?
Yeah, give me some testimonials. Other than this fun news for the area. What else is going on this month?
Well, we are in, of course, the usual sort of midwinter concern about getting our agreements and contracts all squared away with City of Eureka, County of Humboldt, so that we can continue doing what we're doing. On March 9th, we've got, or is it the 8th, we've got a presentation to the county coming up, and then the city will be around that time as well. We have been able to do some mid-year changes to our plan, so we are going to be able to reach out to consumers with direct exhibiting in Santa Rosa and Sonoma at various shows.
The weekend shows?
The weekend shows, yeah. And those are, you know, good close-in opportunities where we can, one of my board members would say, we can have beak-to-beak with a lot of people and invite them to come.
Okay, who's the birder?
You know who that is.
Okay. Does Marin County have that kind of an event? I mean, they must, but I would think that Marin, particularly if following our bird reference, that would be something that would be a significant potential marketplace.
Boy, Marin's always been a tough one for us. We had an HSU marketing students do a study for us a number of years ago, looking at the zip code origin of all the hotel guest registries, and we mapped out where all of our guests are coming from, and we, you know, number one in terms of percentage of population was, can you guess?
Oh, I would think either Sonoma County or San Francisco County.
It was actually Shasta County, the Redding area.
Really?
As a percentage of population, we get more people coming from there than
the percentage of the tourist?
No, percentage of the origin population.
Oh, you didn't say it that way.
Okay, anyway. But
Shasta.
But Marin County was a sort of an outlier. We had such low penetration. People from Marin just aren't coming up here. So that's a nut we have to crack still. I kind of, you know.
Do they go to Mendocino instead?
Well, they think we've got Muir Woods. Why do we need Redwood National Park?
Well, that's interesting because I don't know too many people who would bat an eye to go down to Marin County from here.
No, of course not. But, you know, if you're Marin, you know, you've got Point Reyes. It's an easy hop into the city, or it's Sonoma, or right. So it's.
Yeah, the competition is probably a lot more serious.
There's a lot of competition there. So. Yeah. Okay. Not that we're going to give up, but we got to just figure out the right angle.
Don't have a lot of rafting down there.
Well, no, this is true.
On purpose, only during the flood season.
But they got a lot of things that we have, too, so you know, goat so milk.
you almost see that as a parallel market rather than a distinct market or distinct opportunities that would be distinct from their home.
In a way, you know, definitely they're a competitor for us because anyone who claims to have redwoods is a direct competitor to us.
Does Muir Woods have redwoods? I've never been there.
Well, that's what a lot of people, you know, there's tours in San Francisco who say go see the redwoods and they take them to Muir Woods.
Right. Are they sempervirens? Redwoods?
Absolutely. They're okay. coastal redwoods. And so you know, they're beautiful and lovely. They're just in our opinion, they don't compare to the, you know, old growth fantastic, you know, forest of Rockefeller Forest.
It's all about size.
It's all about size and just, you know, we're what it's all about. And as you probably realize, the last 20 or 30 years, our main goal at the Bureau has been to show that we are the true home of the redwoods. This is where you want to come. That's number one. That's job one.
Somehow San Luis Obispo might claim to be on the Redwood Coast. However, KINS, News and Information Time is 8:42. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, the concept of going out and recognizing what markets are more apt to respond to the message than others. We're talking geographically, Marin County, maybe not so much as Sonoma County or Napa County or some of the others that are in the area. How do you develop those profiles of a community to understand whether or not they're apt to be persuaded or not?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you can kind of reverse engineer it by looking at who is coming to see you. That, you know, that gives you some clues as to where some opportunities lie, you know, in terms of what the penetration of that particular market would be. But interestingly, you know, I've been thinking about this. Like, I've been, you know, I'm teaching some tourism courses at HSU.
That's right, Professor Smoothers.
We just did marketing this last week, you know, a lot about that segmentation question, and really the number one segmentation, the way you to identify a target market, is still geographic.
Not lifestyle.
Well, you get into that, but the basic easiest way that actually most people in tourism do is geographic, because you know the number one question is, are they close enough to easily drive to you?
Well, it's like retail. Was it 80% of all retail comes from a 3-mile radius of the front door?
Yeah, so and it's
okay.
It's,
well,
it's
that's
the
pretty
same.
Straightforward.
So, but then of course you need to, you know, delve into other forms of slicing and dicing potential market, and this is actually, you know, a conversation, or some would say a controversy, that is ongoing. You know, are we a mass market destination where we, you know, put big money into big markets and, you know, identify demographically, psychographically, the ideal profile of who's going to visit us? Or are we a collection of niche markets where we're going to talk to the bird watcher, the fisherman, the plant lover, the hiker, you know, and reach specifically into their, you know, the little world, their own media?
I would think in the classroom setting, yes, because you're not playing with real money. But when you step outside and you're dealing with real dollars, it's really tough to have frequency of 15 different coordinated messages reaching 15 different markets rather than having one and just pound it.
Well, but yes, it's tough, but the return on investment, you know, the customer inquiry or the customer acquisition cost, lifetime customer value, those are all things you have to consider in terms
of...
Well,
sure, yeah, repeat visitors that you don't have to spend.
Right.
Economic value of the customer.
I know that we can talk to a generic tourist and we might get them to come up here and cross it off their bucket list, but will they come back?
Do many?
Well, there are some. I mean, you talk to, 10%, you know.
10%, 20%? How many of them come back every 5 years or more?
I don't have that number. I got a sense that it's in the 10% range. Something, you know, nothing eye-popping. But if you talk to, you know, Trinidad vacation rental folks, for instance, they have annual reservations from the same family. So
they are there.
They are there.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Time to go to work.
Yes.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Have some fun. You'll see you then.